Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Stitcher. Head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight. We're going to be talking about the gubernatorial race in California and the recall effort on Gavin Newsom, and we have on candidate Rhonda Furin to talk about that. But this Gavin Newsom recall appears to be official. It looks like Gavin Newsom is going to have to go up for re-election later this year. How are you doing tonight, Rob? And what have been your thoughts on this Gavin Newsom recall? It sounds like you guys need to get one of those in New York for Andrew Cuomo, huh?
Yeah, we do need to get someone like that here in New York for Andrew Cuomo to replace him. You look at California, a great state. You look at New York City. Who's at the top of the helm? Democrats. Who's destroying the cities and states? Democrats. But yet and still, they want to blame Republicans. California, here's your opportunity to get it right. You need to get it right. You need to vote for the right candidate. We have Rhonda Furin on tonight, and she's going to tell you the kind of candidate that she is. We're going to ask her a series of questions to help you in your decision-making process. But anything, I would say, is better than Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, Rob, I just want to talk about the reasons for the recall listed on it. But what they wrote down is the laws he endorsed favored foreign nationals in our country illegally over that of our own citizens. People in this state suffer the highest taxes in the nation, the highest homelessness rates, the lowest quality of life as a result. He has imposed sanctuary state status and fails to enforce immigration laws. He unilaterally overruled the will of the people regarding the death penalty. He seeks to impose additional burdens on the state by the following: removing the protections of Proposition 13, rationing the water use, and increasing taxes and restricting parental rights. It has been a leftist swamp there in California for years now. Brown was in charge of it before, and Gavin Newsom has just made things worse. Would you agree, Rob?
I agree 100%. And favoring foreign nationals, for what? What are they bringing to the table? They're certainly like bringing in money for taxes. And what do we get? Messed up cities, homeless crisis all over the place. They come in, what do we have? Murders and gang violence. It's time that someone opened up their eyes and spoke truth to power. We have a process for people to come here legally, and we need to follow that process. Gavin Newsom has got to go. This is your moment of opportunity, California.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really excited about our guest tonight, Rhonda Furin. Rhonda has worked tirelessly on this Recall Gavin Newsom campaign. We've known her for quite some time, and she has been out every single week working on this campaign to try and make this happen and to get Gavin Newsom recalled. She spent much of her career as a teacher, and she taught at every single grade level. The issues important to her are education, election integrity, stopping socialism, and bringing back the California dream. We're very excited tonight. How are you doing tonight, Rhonda?
Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're very happy to have you. Well, like I mentioned, you've been working on this Gavin Newsom recall for quite some time. I know that you were there collecting signatures. Tell us about the hard work that it took to get Gavin Newsom recalled and your involvement in the recall.
You know, I wouldn't have gotten that involved with recall if it wasn't for voter integrity issues when I ran for Congress. I initially ran for Congress hoping to get to Washington, D.C. to make changes there for California. And when I saw what was going on with our elections in California, including, illegals voting, illegals getting driver's license and voting, registering for voter applications when they went to the DMV, which was happening, I, in fact, got somebody else's driver's license and registration to my house. And that was because they use other people's addresses. So that was a problem. And so when I saw that happen, I endlessly got on to recall, which was started back in March of 2020, right after the primary election. I saw that we were collecting signatures just by the abundance. And it was from all parties. It was from Democrats, Independents, and Republicans. I would say more so from the Democrats wanting to recall him at that time. And then by August 1st of 2020, I saw that we had close to 1 million signatures, I was told, because I was out there endlessly getting those signatures, volunteering hours and hours with several different groups. Then all of a sudden, when I then filed my paperwork in August of 2020, the signatures went down to 250,000. At that point, I knew that we were even more so rigged than I could ever imagine. And I worked even endlessly and said, I'm not going to give up this fight. And here we are today. We achieved that number once again, and my name is on that ballot.
Rhonda, you talked about the recall and how your name is on the ballot now. When you first started with recall, what was the inspiration for you personally in removing Gavin Newsom? Have you been keeping an eye on what he's been doing to the state for quite some time? And what did you think of Governor Brown before him?
Well, Governor Brown was a disaster. I mean, he basically sold us out, you know, and the homelessness in our educational system has never been up to par. I mean, we've used immigration to basically control the level of education that we want to take our state. So I knew what was going on actually years ago, because I was a teacher here, realizing that the goal of education in this state was not to produce children that could succeed, but basically, bring up a society, a generation that is going to be dependent upon the government, and which you could control them with the amount of money you decide to put into them. And I just said, I didn't come here for that. I mean, California, like I said once before to you, came to Minnesota to recruit me. You know, I could have stayed in Minnesota and taught there, but they, you know, they came to get me. And I thought, this golden state is going to have so many opportunities for so many children. And these children will come out and say, I am where I am today because of, you know, my teachers. Well, how many students do you actually hear say that from the state of California? I am where I am because of my teachers. I don't think it happens here.
So Rhonda, how were there others like you that felt the same way, that Newsom just wasn't up for the task? Or when did that realization come around?
Actually, you know, that people were coming out when I was running for Congress. Once again, I was running for Congress out there, and a lot of people were saying, because there was many attempts on recall, as you are aware of. And a lot of people were coming out saying, like, well, Rhonda, we're not really supporting, you, you're a Republican, but, you know, we really want Gavin Newsom recalled. He's not coming through with what he said he was going to do for us. And this was Democrats reaching out to me, because I don't think California realizes, or a lot of people realize, I was actually a conservative Democrat most my life. Okay, if you were to look at my voting history and how I was registered, I was a registered conservative Republican for many years, all through my educational career. It wasn't until I resigned, you know, and ran for Congress that I said, you know, I'm moving in the footsteps of Ronald Reagan, where he was a long-term conservative Democrat, then, you know, within the union, the Screen Actors Guild union, and realized what's going on with unions controlling where this state goes, being controlled by the Communist Party of China, that I just said, I'm done with this. And so, I registered as a Republican then and ran for Congress.
Just to make sure that we're understanding, so you started out as a conservative Democrat.
Yes, I did. Yes, I was a Democrat, and I came here and I registered as a teacher as a conservative Democrat. And that was back in 1996. Yes, okay. I was.
At what point did you start to realize that things aren't the way they should be under Newsom? Because you had Brown first, you saw what Brown was doing, and then Newsom came in with all these high hopes, as many of them do. They tell you one thing and they do completely the opposite. And by the time people realize it, it's too late. So at what point, what was the awakening point for you?
It was actually in about 2008 to 2010, those years. And I was very active with the union because I was a special education teacher. And I was going to meetings all over the state trying to improve education in California. They had me going all over because I was an administrator designee. And I found out that the unions were not actually working for the teachers. You know, I defunded the teachers union and was signing waivers with my association there in Hacienda La Puente, and said, I do not want any dues going to the teachers union here. And I went, after 1 year of signing the waiver to hold back my dues, I went back and said, look, my dues are coming out of my check again this year. They said, oh, we changed it. You have to now sign every year instead of every 3 years. And I said, what? I said, if I make one signature and say, I don't want dues going to the union, it should be permanent the first year. But, you know, they made it virtually impossible for me to actually defund the union with this school district.
So it started there, the awakening of sorts that he was falling short on the promises that he made for the people, the good people of California. So once the effort started to recall him, when did it start to take full throttle? And then you decided, like you said, you had started out running for Congress and you saw all of the voter integrity issues there. So once you saw that, okay, we're going to do this recall, at what point did you make the decision, I'm going to jump in, I'm going to jump in the race because I know that I can do a lot better job than Newsom?
It was August 1st of 2020. I honestly thought that the recall was going to go through and recall would have been on the general election in 2020. I thought he'd be out of there already. And, you know, it's just alarming that, you know, we got this extension, which we did. And now, you know, I keep hearing that, oh, no, the special election now is in September. It's in October. It's in November. You know, this state doesn't fight this hard for so many years to get rid of somebody to keep them in office another 8 months. I mean, you know, the people of California need to stand up, fight and say, we recalled you now, not only probably once, but many times. We want you out now. We want you out now.
Absolutely. And yes. The 1.6 million signatures to recall him shows that the state of California and the residents want him out right now. Rob, I want to talk to you a minute about what's going on in California from an outsider's perspective. Of course, we know how beautiful the state is. San Francisco, just a beautiful city. So many of these beautiful beaches up and down the coast. But now when you see touristy pictures of California, you see a lot of the homelessness, the garbage on the streets, and a lot of the illegals taking over the jobs of hardworking California residents. And with Joe Biden, this border crisis is only getting worse. We've seen this incident in Houston a while back with 95 illegals in one home. And there were some young teenage girls in there that were obviously being abused in some kind of trafficking incident. And then just recently, we've seen this boat tip over that killed a few illegals. And it was a bunch of more human smugglers, I think up to 20 in it. This border crisis in California is getting bad, and it's only going to get worse under Joe Biden. What do you think, Rhonda? Do you think that if you were governor of California, would you advocate for the construction on the border wall that President Trump started building to restart? And do you think it was making a difference?
Yes, I do. I would actually end sanctuary state. Sanctuary state in California would be ended immediately day one. Okay, that border wall would be going up. And as far as, you know, the illegals, and you're sitting here saying, what, 95 in one house?
95 in one house. I think they were all men, and I probably liked about six women. Some of them were teenagers.
Okay, you know what? That is true. I never saw that many in one house. But I will tell you that I homeschooled in many of the homes within my district. And let's say there it was a four-bedroom house with a two-story, two-stall garage. They would each family would be in a bedroom. They would be petitioning off the living room and the dining room into other families. We would have possibly up to 10 families living in one house, and the garage would be petitioned off into four separate bedrooms with four different families. All these children are going to this one school district, and that the taxpayers are paying taxes on one property. Now, you have to supplement the education of all these kids coming from one house when the taxes are probably only $3,000 a month. Do you see how lopsided this is?
Completely lopsided.
Yeah. The people of California need to wake up. You know, at one point, we need to just stop adding taxes. Okay, at some point, you know, it's like, let's increase this gas tax. Let's increase this sales tax. Oh, now you have a tax on bags. Now you have a tax on this. I mean, the other night I was talking about my phone bill. I have a phone bill through AT&T. I have internet, phone, TV, and my phone is like $19. My cable TV is maybe $60, and my Wi-Fi is $30. I pay $48 in California taxes and fees. That's more than two of the things I actually order on the bill. And I was waking people up and I said, go look at your bill next time. And people would sit there and say, well, it's a nickel and a dime here. But a nickel and a dime that totals up to $50 a month times 12 is a lot of money. Okay. And there's no need for all these fees and taxes. They're using that money to supplement, like you said, those homes with 95 illegals in one home.
Yeah. And they're essentially driving the rich out of California. A lot of people say that the wall wasn't really helping, that illegals could just climb over it with a ladder or whatever. Do you buy that excuse, or do you think that the wall was actually making a big difference? I mean, if you look at the numbers in the Joe Biden administration so far, it looks like it's pretty clear the wall was making a difference. If it does nothing else, it tells illegals that it's not going to be a free trip over here and you're not going to be welcomed with open arms and get free everything. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I never saw the wall. Okay. I just saw pictures of it, and it was apparent that they were not crawling over the wall. And I was just got back from Florida, in which I saw the old Tom Hooman, who was the Homeland Security border ICE. He spoke at the event, and he came right out and said, we need that wall. He was talking about how these illegals are actually getting through, like, say, in Texas. I don't know if you saw what's going on in Texas right now, but they're coming over by the thousands over there through the rivers, you know. And I saw that what they'll do is they'll throw like a little baby. I mean, to them, lives don't matter. You know, they'll throw a little infant over into that doesn't have parents into the water. People are going to rescue the baby. While they're rescuing the babies, then thousands or hundreds of them are crossing the border. I mean, I, you know, I'm trying to think who had that on one of their news shows. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what happens. And that's what Tom said happens. You know, they're just flocking over the border. And that was not happening when President Trump was in office.
They're coming in droves, and these governors don't seem to care. You would think that Newsom would look at this and say, hey, you know, we need to stop being a sanctuary city so that these individuals would come here. But they don't. I look at Texas. I look at the governor there. He's trying to stop it. He's trying to do his best. I look at the residents that are there that are saying that the illegals are coming across their property. And then when they get here, they're housed in these unimaginable conditions by these traffickers. And then when our folks get them, we're busing them and flying them across the country so they can set up shop. And it's just unimaginable as to what's happening.
You're right. You know, I was at another conference where they were talking about the trafficking. Like you just said, trafficking is an $83 billion revenue for people. And when they have, you know, these illegals coming over, you know, that's without birth certificates, they're undocumented. No one really matters if they end up missing or not. Now, I also, I'm not sure if I mentioned this one time when I spoke to you, but I actually met the general manager of the Epic Times, and he was at a women's federated group down in South Orange County. He spent a whole hour talking about human trafficking and organ harvesting. And organ harvesting is a big deal. It's a big deal here in California. I know it for a fact because I... was actually at many in services back in the year 2000 on nanotechnology. I know how they use nanotechnology to track and determine what blood type and what DNA a child has. And when somebody needs an organ within 24 hours, and this whole story was in the Epic Times, they have one. They have an organ within 24 hours, and that person is saved by an illegal child. And it is horrific. I know it for a fact because I was at some of these investor meetings that were up in the Hollywood Hills and Studio City. So if people want to sit there and say, yes, Rhonda, were you there? Yes, I was. Do I know who was at this meeting? Do I know who's doing it? Yes, I do. And it's being done in this state. And so when you sit there and talk about illegal immigration, it's a money-making machine, not only for organ harvesting, which is into that millions of dollars, but the human trafficking, like you said, $83 billion business.
And the governor, what is he doing? What is Newsom doing? He knows this is happening. He knows this is going on. He knows that these people aren't coming to his state.
Well, you know, I don't know. Do you guys know who his wife is and the movies that she's made? I mean, she made some pretty pornographic movies and things like that. So what is it that they're actually doing with these children? And why does he keep, you know, passing these laws in schools and things that don't protect these children and allow for this transgender stuff? I mean, he's basically not looking out for children.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. And Rob, we see this all the time with these politicians in California. They keep reelecting the old established swamp, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi. They get elected time and time again in their districts without much challenge. But we see a lot of great politicians rising in California right now. We've had a lot of them on our show recently. We just had on Joe Collins, who's running against Maxine Waters down there in South Central LA. We had on Pastor Brian Hawkins. Rob, tell the listeners about Pastor Brian Hawkins and running against Radical Ruiz and Riverside. There's just a lot of strong candidates in California, and here we've got one with Rhonda as well. Rob, what are your opinion on some of these new breed of candidates that we're seeing in California?
Well, I think that they're better than what we have out there now. I mean, as you mentioned, Pastor Brian Hawkins from Jacinta, California, who's looking at running. And I mean, he's a fierce person and he has a story just like Rhonda. One of the things that really struck me about him is that he was a, I don't want to say victim because he does not see himself as being a victim, but a product, so to speak, of Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill. You look at California now, you look at who was in office when all the crime was taking place, Kamala Harris. Look at the attorney general. Is it the attorney general or the prosecutor who is now letting out criminals? Now, what is the governor doing about that, Rhonda? This guy is allowing people to get out of jail. You have these foreigners that are coming here, illegal aliens, correct the language, illegal aliens that are committing crimes, and he's letting them walk away. He's letting them get out of prison. He's not making the families aware of it, because usually when there's time, when they're up for parole, the family will appear and they'll say why they don't want the person to be released. But whoever this guy is that was elected thanks to that billionaire, George Soros, thanks to his efforts, this guy is letting these criminals out. And Newsom is doing absolutely nothing but watching and allowing it. A once beautiful state, San Francisco, the Bay Area, beautiful, breathtaking views. Now you have views of homeless camps. You have views of people shooting up. We spoke with Joe Collins. We spoke with Pastor Hawkins. And there are others that are telling the same story. We spoke with Agnes Gibney from the area. And they all share the same thing, that you've got to get rid of Newsom. You've got to get rid of him because he's a danger. He's extremely dangerous. And something that you alluded to, Rhonda, is that this whole trafficking, human trafficking, child trafficking, child prostitution. And we've heard the stories coming out of Hollywood, and they're protecting their own. And Newsom has to know about this. But he doesn't care. He's doing absolutely nothing. He's allowing this to take place. He didn't think they would be able to recall him. And I'm sure that big tech is trying to protect him, and they will try to get him back in because he's their guy. While as the people that are paying taxes, the hardworking people, are having to live through all this, what are people saying, the regular day-to-day people, Rhonda, what are they saying about all this, the corruption in the state?
Well, the people actually, you know, the everyday people really care about their families. They're, you know, they're concerned and they're caring about their children, their grandchildren, the future of the state, you know, especially, you know, the ones that are been here a long time, that have seen the change over the years, that saw it go from this golden state to basically these homeless camps everywhere. And, you know, that's a way of controlling people. It's a way of controlling the education. It's a way of controlling the disabled. It's a way of controlling the veterans that come over here. And you sit there, and many of them are ones that have like whistle blew, on exposing some of the corruption that end up, you know, in these homeless camps. A lot of it is big pharma misuse that makes some of these people in their mental state. I mean, these people are basically created by the drugs that they're put on, and they're given these drugs. I mean, I don't know if you ever looked at state transparency in this state. Gives a number of what the money goes out, like who pays for what. We have the highest ratio of state psychologists and psychiatrists. And these people are out there still working with some of these homeless people, although the homeless people are not they're not in institutions anymore like they should be. They're in tents. They're given tents. So these doctors are making tons of money by delivering these drugs and needles to these people, you know, having no overhead, because they're basically living in streets and controlling them with the drug use. It's a form of control by these doctors that are making, I'm not lying, you can look at the salaries, anywhere from $750,000 up to $6 million of state tax dollars to control these people that are living in tent cities.
Wow.
That's a fact.
We got about 3 minutes before we go to break, Rhonda, but from what you can tell, are the people in California that you are coming across, are they hungry for a change? Are they ready to be voting out the Nancy Pelosi's and Adam Schiff's? And are they ready for some fresh candidates like yourself, for example, and some of these other candidates across the street?
I think they're more than ready. I really feel that they didn't really realize what was going on. I don't think they even realized that their votes were being stolen. So many of these people thought they were just voting for you know, whoever, and then the votes like were flipping. So I think people have now realized that, hey, we were really not even voting for some of this. And so people are ready. They want to change. You know, we want him in and out, and let's see exactly what I can do in 1 year, because the reelection for the next governor is in 2022. Let's see what a woman can do in 1 year. Just let's see what I can do in 1 day. I mean, all it takes is that paper and pen and no more sanctuary city, state. Yeah.
We are here with Governor of California candidate Rhonda Furin, and you are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more from our guest Rhonda Furin on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutLoud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we are back after dark with Rob and Andrew. We're speaking with Rhonda Fearon, who is a candidate in California. What would be, let's say, on day one, your top three items that you would want to take or tackle as governor?
Sanctuary state, immigration. That would be on number one. Tax reform and getting rid of the taxing. And voting. We have, we need voting reform here. Actually, there's one more, so there's four. The public pension liability is not doing us any good here. We're trillions of dollars in debt with that. That needs to be addressed. And I know exactly how to do that. So that is four things, actually, you know?
Okay. So you would definitely get rid of the sanctuary city-state deal.
Yeah.
Because so many of these blue states have them. And the only thing they're doing is just driving up their budget deficit by trying to tax people up to wazoo to pay for the social programs. I mean, we need to take care of our own first before reaching out and taking care of someone else. So I'm glad to know that that's on your top item, top list.
Yes. Well, and school choice, of course, you know, some of this all can be done in 1 week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Clearly that needs to be addressed in California, especially with the influx of illegal aliens flooding in. Rhonda, you mentioned that you made up your mind in August 2020 that you're going to run for governor of California. You've actually been on the ground working hard several days a week on this Gavin Newsom recall to make it happen, and you've watched it unfold. But here recently, since Gavin Newsom's actually been recalled, the signatures were verified. We see kind of a circus developing in this race with Caitlyn Jenner and a lot of other people jumping in the hat, maybe perhaps more celebrities to come. What's it been like to see so many people jumping in the race late, even though they did nothing to help out on this Gavin Newsom recall that you worked so hard on?
Well, I think some of these people think that they have the name recognition, you know, like what happened last time when there was a recall. You know, there was 130 to 135 candidates that were on that ballot for recall Gray Davis. And whoever was the name recognition person basically won. And, you know, we all know that was Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, I was at a conference. This is ironic. I was at a conference and everybody was just like, yeah, why did we liked Arnold Schwarzenegger? Why didn't he run again? You know, why didn't he run a second term? And I was out of state, actually. I was in Florida talking to people from around the country. And I said, well, he had a big scandal. I mean, you know, the media held back the scandal that went with Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was governor. So they didn't even know what was going on. And I said, basically, he couldn't. I said, there's scandal going on with him. And they didn't even know about that. So, you know, the name recognition is not going to win it this time. I think that what's going to win it is somebody like me that's been fighting, somebody that's been fighting for children and has been saying, I'm never giving up, even though, you know, you want to stop me for Congress. You want to stop my first attempt at recall when we had the signatures. You want to try to refund my initial filing fee. It's not going to happen. And, you know, I'm on the ballot. I'm happy to say that I'm here for the long run.
Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a Republican and he did have the name recognition, but from what I understand, he was pretty much a rhino and the citizens in California weren't really happy with the job he did. Would that be accurate, Rhonda?
Yes, exactly. He turned out to be a rhino. Yes.
And something else I want to bring up, you were mentioning the getting on the ballots. They gave you a difficult time getting on the ballots, did they not, when you decided to run at one point?
Yes. You know, when they realized that recall has gone through, we verified the signatures, like you said, I had the Secretary of State and I had Sacramento calling me, saying to me that, you know, I filed for the 2020 election and now it you know, didn't get done in 2020, that they were going to refund my money. And I said, wait a minute, you don't refund my money. I said, I applied for special election. Okay. And I said, it doesn't matter when I pay that filing fee. I said, there are people who have filed for 2022. They're in the race for 2022. I said, I specifically did not sign up for 2022. And I said, you don't start refunding all the people that filed for 2022. Well, then all of a sudden they're calling back and calling my campaign consultants, who are, by the way, in Las Vegas, telling them that we got to now amend my filing to make sure that I'm on this ballot. So yeah, they did try almost anything and everything to get me off this ballot.
But you're there now. You are there, yes, and you have the fire, and you're going to fight this through. So here's another question for you. Looking at the makeup of California, how have you found it to be as a conservative woman in the field in a liberal state running for governor?
Well, you know, I'm a single woman, okay? And I'm a single woman that came here fighting for other people's children. I came here knowing that I was going to be in a school district where I was a minority. I was told that, you know, I was going to take on a lot, you know, coming from Minnesota. But, you know, I have to say that the first school district that I worked at, I was welcomed with open arms. And I was teaching those kids how to read in 1 year as a first grade teacher. And I was not appreciated more than enough. So, you know, sometimes it you know, backfires on people and they say, who is she? It's when, you know, the lies come out and when the teachers union is using the Black Lives Matter movement, basically to create division, you know, amongst the schools and whatnot, you know, that's when there's a problem. When it's actually the schools creating the problem. You know, I called my school district out for targeting innocent Blacks and Hispanics by using illegal surveillance with a company out of Seattle, and they got caught and they all ended up resigning over that incident. You know, so you need to realize what's really going on in the schools, that, you know, they're using people against people, It's not a fair system whatsoever. That's why I strongly push for school choice. I am against the way that the public schools are running and operating right now by always demanding more money, more taxes in order to get something done that never actually ever gets done. You know, that's not the way we operate. If you can't get the job done, then we start cutting people. We don't start adding money to it.
Yeah. When I was researching you, Rhonda, for the show, one thing that stuck out to me was your prominent teaching career. And it said that you've even taught every grade level, so you know what it's like to deal with kids of all ages. And I'm sure when you were teaching, you had to deal with a lot of these other teachers in the schools and some of this liberal indoctrination that we see going on in these blue states, particularly in California. I'd love to hear, what was it like when you were fighting back and forth with the school boards and the teachers union? Did you clash with the teachers union a lot when you were a teacher? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I did. You know, and that, I mentioned that earlier when I started to defund them. And I was actually working very hard. They said that if you have to show up at every school board meeting to show, because we were fighting for a raise. We had gone without a contract for over a year. And we were fighting for a raise of like, you know, 10%. You know, and it's ironic that we sit there and fight for these pay increases that we never really get, but yet our dues go up and the cost of living goes up. But the teachers, these unions, actually, I was going back telling my teachers, yeah, we're going to get this. So we got this, you know, because I was at every meeting, never missed one. Then I find out that the union leaders undercut the teachers and the union reps by taking a deal under the table. And I'm sitting here going like, we ended up with a 3%, 1% here and 2% over the next 2 years. I said, where did the 10% go? Well, that went to the top union leaders. And these teachers are sitting here going like, Rhonda, what, where? And I said, I don't know. I said, you know, they cut me out. And when I started calling these people out, I said, you just lied to me and the teachers. And I said, I can prove it. And they're looking at me and they're going like, you're delusional. No, you're not going to tell me I'm delusional because I've been at every meeting. I know where the money went. I saw it, you know, and I said, we agreed upon it. And I said, all of a sudden you're cutting it. And these teachers are sitting here like, well, this is the best we can get. No, this is not the best we can get. That's the best you got because you just sold your teachers out.
Wow.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Okay. So something else, just still along the same lines of being a conservative woman in this district, do you think that you would have the support of liberal women? Because right now it seems if you're not exotic, and when I say exotic, meaning that if you're not a Black woman who's a liberal or a lesbian liberal in these big blue states, they will give you no attention. So you have Caitlyn Jenner who's looking at running and people are like, oh, maybe can she not, can he not? So for you, do you think that that would be a challenge, an uphill battle for you?
No. You know, I will tell you that my best friend, when I came here, when I moved here, she was Puerto Rican. She was from Puerto Rico. I have a very close friend of mine that lives, you know, next door that I'm very good friends with. She is from Vietnam. I have two very other close friends of mine. One is from El Salvador and one is from Guatemala. So there you go. And one of the people that I consider, I would call her my mom, she was from Peru. So when I can sit there and say, where are all my Caucasian female friends? They're not here. I don't have any. Okay. All my friends are from somewhere else. So, you know, they see who you hang around with or who you associate with, who you go out with. And those are my best friends. So, and once again, you know, I actually was at the gun show, the OC gun show, in which I actually went up to the Libertarian Party table, introduced myself and spent some time talking with them at the gun show. And they actually shook my hand, supported me, and took some of my material that I had. Okay, I went around the gun show to another booth. I won't say which outlet, but it was a Republican group in Orange County. They came up to me and they said, "Oh, Rhonda, hi, how's it going?" I said, "That's great." And they said, "Well, who are you going to get behind to support for governor? You know, we'd really like you to run for Congress District 45 again." And I said, "Well, that's nice." I said, I don't really know who's going to run for District 45. And then said, "Well, who are you going to support? Are you going to support John Cox or Rick Grenell?" I looked at them and I said, "Neither." I said, "I'm running to be California's next governor." And these women were all, you know, from a very fluent Republican group here in Orange County. And they just walked away from me and said, "Whoa, look what she did." And I said, "I spent more time at this gun show with the Libertarian group over here." So there you go.
Very interesting. There you have it. Well, there you go. California, we've talked about this briefly in this interview already, but the taxes are just out of control. The rich are fleeing the state. We've seen Tesla and Elon Musk take off and leave. We've seen Joe Rogan take off and leave. Most of them are going to Texas because of the lower taxes. Joe Biden wants to continue taxing California, saying that the rich could, not even really the rich, if you make $400,000 or more, you could be taxed out of 50% of your pay if you live in California or New York. For the voters listening that are from California, Rhonda, what would you say to them? Will you cut taxes if you are elected governor?
Definitely. You know, the last time I was with you guys, I mentioned the book by AR2 by Lawrence Paul Hebron, and he has a whole section on taxes. And he talked about all the taxes we pay here in California. And it listed about, I would say, 30 to 40 taxes. I read that the last time I was on air with you. And we have to consider this. We didn't have those like a decade ago. So where did all these taxes all of a sudden come about? It's because, you know, somebody's got to pay for these illegals. Okay. And I'm going to add one more thing about this IRS, because I was one of the people that was targeted by the Barack Obama IRS with Lois Lerner. And it was because I actually was a registered conservative Democrat, like I said, but I was sending money to the Tea Party, to the Tea Party, because I was fed up with the taxes that were going on in California when I found out that the taxes were being used against us through the unions, through the teachers union. And I said, "You people are using taxation, the educational tax dollars, to not educate, but just turn against the people and control them." And I said, "I am not going to deal with this." Okay, so I was targeted by the Obama administration. I was audited. Okay, so like ongoing fighting. I sit there and giving them receipts and everything that I need to give them. When they come back to me and they say, "We need the original receipts," you know, the receipts that come from the machines. Well, I happen to have saved all those. But what the average person doesn't realize, because I don't know how many people go through an audit, they now use invisible ink. So when you sit there and go back and get your receipts from, you know, 5 years later, 3 years later, or even a year later, those original receipts are now blank pieces of paper. It erases. And the IRS still uses this notion that says, we can't use your credit card statements. We need the actual receipt. I'm sitting here photocopying all these receipts of $7,000 worth of school supplies I would end up paying for out of my pocket because the school district doesn't buy teachers anything. No glue, scissors, crayons, colored pencils, nothing. But yet we are told we have to use some of these things in our classroom. Well, what is the teacher supposed to do? Of course, we have to go out and buy it for our students because the school district is not buying it for us. And yet when I sit there and say, I'm going to write some of this stuff off, there, I have blank receipts. I am still fighting that. And there are hundreds of thousands of teachers that spend hundreds of their own dollars on school supplies because the school district does not use tax dollars properly to buy these kids even crayons or pencils. They were buying, let me tell you about these pencils they were buying. They were buying these pencils from China that purposely would break, that never ending, you would have to sharpen, and it never came to a point. So basically boxes and boxes of Chinese pencils were bought and thrown out. The kids were getting fed up. They're just like, well, Miss Furin, can you just go buy us some nice pencils somewhere? Because these ones just don't work. And they were absolutely true. Anybody that hears my story where I'm talking about pencils, they know I'm saying the truth because the school districts were buying thousands of dollars worth of wooden pencils that possibly only the child could use maybe once.
Rhonda, something else we wanted to ask you about is obviously there's going to be a lot of social media interference in the election for any Republican that polls highly. We all know that Silicon Valley is all in the Democrats' pockets. They work together. But there's also a lot of election integrity issues there in California. How do you think that'll go in this recall election? Do you think we're going to see a lot of fraud, like illegals voting, dead people voting, and whatnot, like we see oftentimes in the state of California, sadly?
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw the frankspeech.com when the pillow guy came out, Mike Lindell. He talked about it, and I was just at a conference at the Eagle Forum, Orange County, in which we had people talking about voter integrity issues. Linda Payne was there. You know, she's in charge of some of that. I really think that we are going to, take care of that before this election, because we're not going to work this hard on a recall to have it thrown out against us. So, I really think that we will get our case in California has not been thrown out. So it is still in the works. Let's see, you know, where these other states go. I think that Arizona is showing good signs, I believe. So let's see where that goes. I think we really do need to clean up voting. And when you sit there and you ask people, who did you really vote for? Many of these people will sit there and say that they've been voting red many years. Okay, this whole state was red under Ronald Reagan. We were like a full circle red. And now they're trying to tell us when we're actually getting worse over these last years that we start to vote the same people in. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. We would never have went backwards and started voting all these Democrats in when we continually get worse at everything and keep asking for more taxes to pay for stuff to fix things that they'll never fix.
Yeah, thank you so much to our guest tonight, Rhonda Furin. We want to give her a special thanks for joining us. If you'd like to support Rhonda Furin, please go to her website, rhondafurin.com, and you can support her and make a donation to her website. Or if you're a California resident, be sure to vote for her in the big Gavin Newsom recall coming up. Thank you so much, Rhonda. Rob, we see this in California with what is going on there. Gavin Newsom has been an absolute disgrace. Governor Brown before that was a disgrace. As Rhonda mentioned, a lot of people were unsatisfied with the job that Governor Schwarzenegger did. California badly needs a change, and the voters need to wake up in this recall election.
I agree. And I look at New York and I look at California, and these are two big states that people, tourists, enjoy going to. And in their prime, they were beautiful states. as I said earlier on when we were talking to Rhonda, and how people would go there, the Bay Area in California, Bodega Bay. It's just beautiful. Even Los Angeles, beautiful. But now, you go to these states, you have the stench of human defecation. You have homeless tents on the outside of major streets, on the sidewalk. I have nothing against the homeless. We're supposed to show them compassion. But what kind of compassion are we showing them by allowing them to live on the streets, by allowing them to shoot up drugs on the streets, by allowing them to do all acts of anything on the streets as if though they're animals? And on top of that, I read somewhere that one of the homeless camps is next to a school, and that the kids have to walk through the camp to get to school. What are we saying as a society? Who are we? New York City, where I live on Wall Street, the homeless. And it makes you wonder, what is happening? What is it that these governors, these blue state mayors don't get? Why are they allowing these cities to crumble? And if anyone comes to you and says, oh, well, it's COVID-19, or the China virus caused this. No, it was a perfect storm. They're using the China virus as an excuse to put forth their socialist agenda. This was part of their process, part of their playbook all along. It just precipitated even more so with the virus.
And it really feels like, from an outsider looking in, that this really, when this recall Gavin Newsom effort picked up a lot of steam and added tons of signatures, because this guy kept millions of California residents from working for close to a year. We've talked to the business local business owners that lived in California over the past year, and what they've had to go through with these COVID lockdowns and all the job lost and the depression and the drug use that we have seen as a direct result of Gavin Newsom locking down the California economy for a year.
Yeah. And it's remarkable that people have waited so long to say anything about it. You look at the Californians, and why aren't they out in the streets protesting that? And even in New York City. And then we have our governor, who's refusing, after all the damage he has done, he is refusing to resign. 15,000 deaths from the China virus. 15,000, possibly more. The women that he has allegedly assaulted. And he's yet to resign. He's still staying there. And as I said, from day one, I never trusted him at his press conferences. Some people, oh, well, he made me feel calm. He made me feel at ease. A lot of women said this. And then I questioned their judgment on men. Because as an alpha male, I saw straight through his entire theatrics. You even have male comedians saying, oh my God, I felt this tingle in me. Well, I question your manhood. Yes, I said that. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Cuomo was getting over. Mm-hmm. And his domineering press conferences. Nasty, rude. And people just sat there like little sheep taking it. Fast forward to or across the way to Gavin Newsom. In his slick style, people fell for it. And the Bible says that, you know, people will fall for anything. They will believe a lie rather than the truth. And of course, when you bring the Bible up, liberals go all bonkers, because the Bible to them is like the cross to a vampire, although vampires don't exist. Or the Bible is kryptonite, and they're to Superman. But when you look at this stuff and you really study it, and you're like, wait, look at what's happening. Look at how fast we dropped. And why? Because someone took their eyes off the prize. Someone decided it doesn't matter. And Americans, the voters, have got to come back to the table and say, hey, we have an opportunity to do this over. So you have the Rondafarians that are out there that see this and they're saying, hey, we're sounding the alarms. Here's an opportunity. Don't mess up again. Here's a perfect opportunity. California has an opportunity to make certain that this ship is erect, corrected, firm, back sailing down the shore. New Yorkers, I don't know what's going to happen. But I would implore Californians to look at this election. Make the right decision. Don't listen to the Hollywood folks. They could care less because they're going to still make their money. Because they know that, oh, you miss them. You want to see them in the theaters. They're living behind the guarded fence and the, with the gates and the security cameras and the police and security guards. Meanwhile, you're out there on the front lines encountering all of this unseemliness, the destruction of the cities that they and their policies caused. And please don't think about leaving those cities and going to red states, because that's what they do. They leave California and they'll flock to Texas. They'll flock to Florida. They'll flock to Arizona. They've just wreaked havoc in Arizona. They always flock to the red states. They're there for a while and they're quiet. And then they get restless. And then they start trying to change things. We don't need you there in those states changing things. We don't need you coming there with your warped ideas. You've messed up one state. Don't come to another and try to mess it up. As Rhonda said, she saw this happen and she spoke out. You guys need to start speaking out and speak out at the polls and vote.
Yeah, I will say I really do like that recall rule in the California election. It makes me wish that in my state of Illinois, we had people like Rhonda working to get this idiot Pritzker out of there. I'm sure that you wish in New York you had people working that could be getting Cuomo out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the recall is a great thing. And thank you all for joining us tonight. If you want to support Rhonda, please go to her website at rhondafurin.com. And you have joined us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its fifth anniversary. And you can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And to remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.